lack of service delivery has spawned a new illegal industry. We speak to Keith Elliott, the director of the Kaya Sands Burning Wasteland Community Forum. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you, Chris.
How did the illegal waste management industry get off the ground?
So in our area, what happened was that there was a waste disposal site called the Kaya Sand Waste Disposal Site in Kaya Sand. And that was decommissioned in around 2010 and officially closed sometime later. And then what happened was that criminal elements, these waste lords, reopened the site and started accepting money from people looking to dump and essentially started an illegal waste, continue to use the site as an illegal commercial dump. And as a consequence of that, either those entrepreneurs or copycats invaded other land in the area, and this little illegal industry in our area was spawned.
What's the modus operandi of these waste lords?
So the modus operandi is that they have marshals that work on the sites for them. So when we did a study of this in 2023, we had up to 10 illegal sites. So they have a number of marshals on the waste dump. The people arrive with a truck full of waste. The waste is dumped in the designated spot. So the marshals will take them to the spot, tell them where to dump it. The waste is dumped. Money changes hands at that level. So between 200 and 500 rand per load. And then the waste is mined. And it's mined for recyclables, anything that can be resold or repurposed. It's mined. And then at the end of the day, in order to make space for the next day's loads, whatever is left and can't be salvaged or used is set alight.
So what kind of wealth are these waste lords accumulating?
It's very difficult for us to know exactly what kind of waste they're accumulating. But when we had those 10 dumps operating, and we also have an understanding that some of these waste lords are involved in selling parcels of land in the two informal settlements in the area. And we believe that they're involved in the myriad hundreds and hundreds of illegal electricity connections. It could be anything between 10 and 20 million rand a year that this industry is generating.
What effect has this had on the surrounding communities?
So in the first instance, I think whenever there's organized crime and whenever there are illegal activities, it immediately creates a security risk for the community, and that's particularly relevant in a South African context. However, the immediate impact is that when these dumps are smoldering, so now we have, at the moment, we have four active dumps. When these dumps are burning in the evening, it creates these huge clouds of smoke. Which in and of themselves are an issue. But later in the evening, when it cools down and we get the temperature inversion, that smoke is trapped closer to the ground. And we live in the Klein-Yipske Valley, and that smoke, as water does, runs down the valley and then affects the lives of about 150,000 people. So the complete combustion, when the flames are raging, creates smoke, but it goes up. What happens at night is that the waste continues to smolder. And when the waste smolders in that way, it is incomplete combustion of the waste. And that means that you get compounds called dioxins released into the air. And these are volatile organic compounds, which are particularly dangerous. So not only do people cough and splutter and they can't breathe and they have asthma and all of those kind of things, but these have been linked to reproductive disorders, hormone disorders, and even cancers.
How long have you been engaging with the authorities to try and resolve this?
So I arrived home one evening in March of 2020 in a cloud of this toxic smoke, and I decided that I could no longer live with it. So I began engaging with the authorities in 2020.
And what engagements have there been, and what have been the results of your efforts?
So it took us about a year to get to a point where anybody we had any substantive response. So in the first in the first couple of months, we had Gauteng Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, as well as representatives from the city of Johannesburg, specifically Pick It Up, which is the waste management company. We had low-level visits, site visits from those two entities, and they would email us afterwards and say, we're going to take action. And then we just saw absolutely nothing happen. We managed to scare up the details of the chairman of the audit and risk committee of Pick It Up at some point. And when we did that, we finally started to get some action on this. So in August of 2021, the chief executive of Pick It Up, the chairman of the board at the time, the chairman of the audit and risk committee, and one other non-executive chairman, a non-executive board member, as well as the almost the full executive of Pick It Up, did a site visit with us. And we stood on top of the dumps. They had private security, they had SAPs, and they had JMPD protecting us. And we walked onto dumps, we scared away the marshals, and they stood on top of those dumps and gave us an undertaking that everything would be sorted out. And of course, if you've got the chairman of the board and the CEO telling you everything's going to be fine, you believe it. The next important thing that happened was in January of 2022, we had sight of a document published by Johannesburg, City of Johannesburg, Environment, Infrastructure and Services Department. They call themselves EISD. They published a comprehensive 30-page action plan, which was a multi-work stream and multi-interdepartmental initiative to address the problem. So fully acknowledging that we have this industry of illegal dumping and undertaking to fix it. But by the middle of the following year, by the middle of 2023, notwithstanding us cajoling them and asking them to really implement this action plan, they didn't. And that was when we were lucky enough to come across a law firm that would happy to act for us pro bono. We formed the nonprofit company and we began to address this through the courts.
Robertson, a small town in the middle of nowhere where a wine farmer claims to have sold a Volkswagen up to e-bike cars.
A farmer.
What car did you really sell them?
A VW.
Right here in Robertson.
Small town, but we know about e-bike cars.
Yeah, but what's a farmer doing with a VW up?
It was just a runaround.
Cool cover story. And I see you traded it in for this, like a double cab Danay. Were they all out of Rangers?
E-bike cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Okay, that's what I've wanted to ask you. What legal actions are you now embroiled in?
Okay, so the first thing we needed to do was we needed to prove to the court that there were issues to do with air quality. Our legal team advised us that it's not sufficient to just show pictures and videos of people dumping illegally, that we needed to prove the air quality issue. So our first court action, which ended in August of 2024, was to get the court to compel the city of Johannesburg to do air quality testing, comprehensive air quality testing. So we succeeded in that and our court order was granted. But unfortunately for us, the city of Johannesburg did not meet the first deadline for delivering the results, which was supposed to be April of 2025. And neither did they meet the extension that we gave them to July of 2025. So those court ordered air quality tests are still being conducted at the moment. They started with them on the 28th of August, and we expect the results probably sometime around the end of the first quarter of next year. So that's the first legal challenge that we've made. Then in September of this year, we launched another notice of motion, and in that we've cited 13 different entities from national down to local government, including the presidency, cooperative governance at both provincial level and at national level, Commissioner of Police, Minister of Police, Gauteng Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, as well as many of the city organs, including JMPD, Pick It Up, and the city manager. And what we're demanding from them is that within 120 days, they have done a comprehensive assessment of the situation, that they have devised an action plan to comprehensively fix the matter, and that they have started to implement that action plan. And the reason it's such a comprehensive legal action and includes all of those entities is that this is a big problem. It's a large area. There are at least 4 access roads into it. We have at least 4 active dumps. So it will take more than just JMPD or City of Joburg to deal with it. That's been proven now.
Now, we've heard a great deal about police and political capture of late. Do these waste lords have unofficial official protection? Are they linked to corruption?
So, Chris, I can only tell you anecdotally that we've been approached by parties in the past. And the approach has been, if you come up with 100,000 rand, we're quite sure that this problem can go away. So that's an indication, at least, that at some level there may be political involvement or people in politics who are involved in this. We also know that the City of Johannesburg's JMPD vehicles regularly patrol the area. I have personally observed them stopping vehicles clearly laden with waste that's going to the dump. The JNPD officer approaches the vehicle. There's an exchange of documents, and if I want to be charitable, I'm going to tell you that maybe the license was being checked, but you know, one can deduce whatever one wants from seeing that interaction. The truck then just goes on its way, does its dumping, and leaves the area. So that's stuff that I have certainly observed myself. So whether there's only petty corruption at the level of JMPD officers, or whether there is higher level corruption, we can only speculate, and the viewers can make their own deductions from what I've described and seen and heard and experienced myself.
But you describe being practically extorted by somebody in politics to try get you to pay for having this dealt with.
Well, that is correct. The meeting that we held was with a third party. The person that was going to receive the money in order to make the problem go away was never named. But that's the offer that was made to us.
And how
I can
did
just
you
add
respond?
Another anecdote. Our response to that was we rejected it out of hand. We ended the meeting right there and then. I think that acceding to those demands is playing into the already existing organized crime problems that we have in this country. And as an organization, we're not interested in being involved in that.
Mm. You were going to share another anecdote, Keith.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Just the fact that JNPD patrol vehicles from outside of our region. So Johannesburg is broken up into different regions. And the region is, the designation of the region is on the JNPD vehicles. We know that JNPD vehicles from outside of our region come into this area in Kaiasand, stop next to the road and stop vehicles, which is highly irregular. And it actually cannot be explained why they do that, other than this is potentially quite a lucrative place for corrupt JNPD officers to increase their income.
Hmm, to get bribes.
Well, it certainly looks that way to us.
Fought a really long battle. How optimistic are you of succeeding with legal action?
It has been a long struggle. And I must mention that I'm not doing this on my own. There's a community behind us. We have a petition, an online petition that 11,600 people have signed. We have a WhatsApp group that includes over 1,600 people. We've raised a significant amount of money over time from the community. So this is not me on my own. I've got a great group of people that operate with us. Just in terms of our optimistic, we have to be optimistic, Chris. We have to believe that the rights of the ratepayers and the community are going to prevail here. and that ultimately the courts are going to give us a result. The problem is that it does take a long time. We already have received notice from our legal team that some of the parties cited in our most recent court action have given notice of their intention to oppose our motion. So I think, you know, that beggars belief. I can see you raising your eyebrows, and that's exactly how we feel about it. It's unbelievable to think that any of these government entities would oppose this. You would think that they would just be saying, let's not go to court, let's settle this. Let's get an agreement together. Let's take it to court. Let's have it made in order of court, because that would be our requirement. But that's not the case. So it does appear as if we're going to go to court, but we have to be positive and we have to believe that we'll prevail.
Is there any way that you can lay criminal charges in certain cases?
So absolutely. That is certainly part of our plan. Just the legal team, we've got to get to one thing at a time, but it's certainly on a list of things that we can do.
In conclusion, Keith, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, let me just describe to you the most recent thing that the community has done. So we know that, and you've already alluded to it. We've been at this a long time, and we think it's going to take us a while longer to get this right. The fact is that the community have decided that we need some action now. So we've raised sufficient money to run a pilot project for private security, to help the authorities with enforcement. So we have checkpoints in the area at four points in the area, and we also have a patrol vehicle that's in the area. Our eyes and ears on the ground are the community. We're talking to those teams about when trucks are seen coming into the area. We're pointing out where they're dumping and so forth. So this has been running since the 26th of November, and it really is making a difference. And I think the two reasons I wanted to tell you. The first one is that it not only is it a disgrace that citizens have to resort to the court to get the authorities to do their job, but it's also a disgrace that the citizens have to resort to private security to get the enforcement right. And it's remarkable how easy this has been. We've already made a massive impact on the dumping and the burning in the area in a couple of days with this security solution. So those things are really important for people to know that we've been forced into this situation where we are doing this. So they're acting in concert with JNPD. They're going to do raids with JNPD. The idea is not some kind of vigilante justice. They alert JNPD to the issues. They've got number plate recognition technology. So this is really, you know, the citizens employing private security to do what JNPD and SAPS should be doing.
Well, that was Keith Elliott, the director of Kaya Sands Burning Wasteland Community Forum, speaking to Biz News about the Waste Lords. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Chris.